WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Friday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. The final day of Police Week as we are utilizing this week to give our thanks to all of the law enforcement in the area and the work that they do every day to protect us. Chris McCarthy will be broadcasting live this morning from 9 to noon at the Honeydew on Route 18 in New Bedford. So you can stop by and see him, especially if you are a member of law enforcement. He'll put you on the air. And there's also going to be a special Seize the Deal later during that program. 10 a.m. it goes on sale at seizethedeal.com to be able to get yourself a half-price deal to Honeydew on Route 18 in New Bedford. So if you have a law enforcement officer in your life and you want to give them thanks, give them a reward, what better way to do that than to get them to Seize the Deal, right? They get all of the Honeydew and you only have to pay half the price. So again, that'll be coming up at 9 a.m. Crystal Star is broadcast. 10 a.m. the deal will go on sale at seizethedeal.com. It was a very touching night last night. We had the memorial for Christine Fox. For those of you who hadn't heard, we did have the story up at WBSM.com and on the app and on our Facebook page. But Christine Fox, who longtime Fun 107 personality, passed away last week. And today is going to be her funeral, so it's going to be sparse around here. But I'll be here with you. But if you were a Christine fan and you want to remember her today, over on Fun 107 this morning, they're playing. They actually found some audio that they thought was lost of the Rockin' Fox show. And so all morning long, they're playing that over there this morning. So if you'd rather listen to that today, I totally understand. Go listen and pay tribute to Christine, and you can come back here and catch the podcast later. But if you do stick around, it is Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs on Tarkiln Hill Road in New Bedford. Eventually, my mouth will naturally make that movement correctly, but right now it gives me trouble. But D's Hot Dogs is the proud sponsor of Fun Fridays here on the program. And we have a great Fun Friday question today that should be pretty interesting. And, you know, when we are going over these questions, I get some sent in that are just like, I'm not going to ask that because that's not going to be an interesting conversation, or it's going to be something where somebody just gives you a one word answer and that's it. You know, I'm trying to look for things that will fuel a good conversation. And Dave in New Bedford sent over today's Fun Friday question. What was the make, model, and year of your first car? And what I'd be interested in, too, is not only asking that, but kind of adding the caveat into, and what year did you start driving? Because not very, very few people started driving a, you know, brand new car when they first got their license. I knew kids that did that. I knew kids whose parents went out and bought them a car and bought them something. You know, they wanted them to have something reliable and safe. So they would buy them something that was only, you know, a couple years old. And I don't know about you, but I learned pretty quickly when I got my license. Gee, I'm glad that I have a beat up old car, because you just make dumb mistakes. No, the thing that always got me were those concrete blocks at the end of a parking space. You know, you pull up too far and then you scrape the bottom of your car on them. You know, it depends on your vehicle. I have a relatively low to the ground car now, and I scrape it on every single one of them. Not as bad as when I was driving Trans Ams, and those were super low to the ground. And I'd scrape those on every single one. But, like I said, I knew kids that got cars that were only like a couple of years old. And I just was like, what? When my brother got his license, Mike, don't mind me if I'm mentioning here or there, but I gave him our grandmother's car that I had been driving because I got a truck, the first car I ever made payments on. I was 20-something years old, and so I had been driving my grandmother's Oldsmobile, which admittedly was not the best car and leaked a major amount of oil. But then he like got rid of that relatively quickly and got a brand new car. I was like, oh man, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to be sorry that you got a brand new car. But people, you know, people look at it as, I know I've got something reliable. I know it's something that's going to be safe. I know it's not going to fall apart on me on the highway. So I see both sides of it. But I also think it's interesting to see like some of the cars people, because I started driving in like 94, 95, something like that. So you saw, I think in 94. So you saw like some really weird cars as kids' first cars. There was I have to look it up because I don't remember exactly who them. I know the model, but I don't know who the maker was. I think it was Renault. It was Renault. So one of my friends had a white Renault Fuego. A white Renault Fuego. If you've never seen it, it looked like Inspector Gadget's car. And he had that. Another one of my friends had a, it was a Suzuki. I think it was either a Suzuki Swift or a Subaru Justy. I forget which one she had. Then my ex-wife, her first car was a Peugeot station wagon. Like, you don't see this mix of weird cars anymore for kids. Like, oh, what do you get? Oh, I got a Toyota. I got a Honda. I got a Hyundai. You don't have this same mix anymore of weird first cars. And you never knew, you know, what, like, if you bought one of these cars and something broke, you didn't know if you were going to be able to fix it. And then when I went from, you know, Wareham High School to UMass Dartmouth and I pull up into the commuter lots and all I see are these brand new cars, you know, what was popular in those days? A lot of kids had Mitsubishi Eclipses, Eagle Talons. Eagle Talons were hugely popular then. I kind of wanted one. The Eclipse, I was like, those are cool, but I don't know that I like them necessarily. But the Eagle Talons I thought were pretty cool. And Saturn had just come out. So a lot of kids went and got the Saturn SC2. That was kind of like the sporty looking Saturn. So there were a lot of those in the parking lot too, because there was a Saturn dealership in Dartmouth. And I think, you know, they probably put a strong push on kids going and buying them. But the Eclipse was probably, you know, the one that every kid wanted in those days. My coworker went out and bought it was the Nissan, I can't think of it now, but I wanted to get it. I wanted to get one of them so bad. Because I want to say it was a Z something. But, you know, these kids are all driving these cool-looking cars, and I'm driving my beat-up old cars from the 70s and early 80s. But what was my first car? Well, like a lot of kids, my first car was my mom's car. So when I got my license, I worked the entire summer before I got my license, saved up as much cash as I could, which was $400. But to me, that was a lot of money. And in those days, $400 could get you a pretty good car. So I saved up $400. I was trying to get to $500, but I had to buy some back-to-school clothes. And so when I was ready to buy a car, my mom was ready to get a minivan, to go from driving a station wagon to a minivan. So rather than trade in the station wagon, she sold me the station wagon for $400. And let me tell you, having a station wagon as your first car is not a bad thing. You got plenty of room for all your friends, plenty of room for your stuff. I didn't care that it wasn't cool. But then the engine caught on fire. So down one car. And later on in the program, I will go through all of the vehicles that I've ever owned, but get ready. I have to make sure I have a segment where I don't have to take a commercial break for a little while because it's a long list. I think I've owned 20 vehicles and 2 motorcycles in all the years that I've been driving, which is probably, this year will mark 30 years. And yeah, some of those were like 3 cars in 1 year and not all at the same time, not concurrently. But when you see some of the cars that kids drive now for their first car, like, man, how did you afford that? Well, more often than not, kids' parents are buying them cars these days. And I've never understood that. I had to work for my car so that I appreciated it. I mean, I knew kids who got a car and then they cracked it up and then their parents got them another car and I was like, what are you doing? No wonder they don't take care of it because they know if they break it, you're just going to get them another one. Meanwhile, I'm over here like, if I don't take care of this car, I've got no way to get anywhere because my parents aren't going to bring me all the places I want to go. And my friends are going to get pretty ticked off picking me up all the time. My best friend growing up, his first car, he drove his mom's Dodge Diplomat. In fact, I know he has a car now as a, 47-year-old man, but I don't know how old he was when he bought his first car. I think he might have bought that when he first had kids. Because he went to school in the city. And couldn't have a car. And then he stayed in the city and worked. So he never had a reason to have one. But yeah, a Dodge Diplomat. A big old boat of a car. So I think this could be a fun conversation, especially when, you're calling in and saying, oh, my first car was, a 1965 whatever. And okay, what year did you get your license? 1991? Oh, okay. So you had like a nice, cool classic car? No, it was a piece of junk. But yeah, my first one was a 1985 Chevy Celebrity Wagon. Which, before it became my car, and the whole family would be riding around in it, my brother and I would be in the back seat. It had one of those rear-facing back seats, you pop up the little hatch and there's a seat with a couple of seat belts. I think it had, it must have had seat belts. And then we'd be in the back of the car with my three sisters in the middle and my parents in the front. And we're stuck facing out the back window. So if like they're having a conversation, you got to turn around, which we did often. Can't get away with doing that anymore. But in all the time that I had it as my own car, I never made anybody ride in that back seat. But then when some of my friends found out there was one, then they did it because they wanted to. But I never said to somebody, you got to sit in the back. Anyway, 508-996-0500. That is today's Fun Friday question. What was the make, model, and year of your first car? And what year did you start driving it? And we'll have some other topics to discuss as well, including the man who was taken from his vehicle after ice broke his window is now free on bond. We can talk about that. There's been some changes in the story in Providence about the Palestinian flag flying over City Hall. Still scheduled to do so, but some of the city councilors are pretty upset about the whole thing. We can talk about that and whatever else is on your mind. 508-996-0500. But right now, I'm going to take my first break of the morning, and we'll be right back. Looks like we have a little bit of an issue going to the news. That's all right. We can continue talking to you at 508-996-0500. I was just eating a granola bar, though, so I apologize if I sound a little lip-smackety. So, yeah, my brother sent me a text. He said, bonus pictures if you post photos of your car. Yeah, I actually have it up on our Facebook page, the Fun Friday question. You can share your photos of your first car there. A couple of years ago, they did this thing on Facebook where they said, post photos of all the cars that you've owned. And I didn't have any photos of my actual cars, I had lots of photos. I found photos of every car that I had owned. I found one that looked similar, right down to the same color. And so I posted that. And that was a lot of work, having 20 different cars. But then, of course, everybody's like, this is just an AI scam to find out your personal info. But I was like, whatever, it was fun. And the fun part about it was not just finding the cars, but finding, like, where you found those photos. Like, sometimes it was a page about that car. And then sometimes it was a page that was, trying to sell that car. It's like, oh, gee, I'd love to have another K car. And I would. I'm not kidding you. I would buy a K car today if I had money and space to keep an extra car. Because it was, as Bare Naked Ladies told us, a nice reliant automobile. But it was also easy to fix. Not a lot went wrong with them, but if it did, it was easy to fix. It's probably harder now because you can't get the parts as easily. But almost everything on a K car, you could do yourself in the driveway. And the first thing I used to do when I bought a car is I would go to AutoZone and I would get the Chilton guide for that car and put it in the trunk so that if something went wrong, I had this book that would tell me how to fix it. Nowadays, you don't even need that. I was saying the other day, there was the era of the YouTube mechanic where you would watch a video on YouTube that would show you how to fix something. You can still do that, but now you have AI too. And not just AI written form, but also speech. So you can be out there working on the car and, have your cell phone nearby and be talking to the AI and say, okay, well, what do I do next? And it'll talk you through step by step what to do. I'm more of a visual person, so I like to watch the video of somebody doing it and then try to do it myself. And one of the vehicles that I owned was a 97 Subaru Impreza. But I bought it in like 2007 or 2008. So it's not as impressive as it sounds. It was not brand new by any means, but it had a problem with the mass airflow sensor would go bad in it. And those were like $350, $400 to get a new one. or it was $35 at the junkyard. And there were tons of them in the junkyard. So I would just, every time my mass airflow sensor, and I had this car for, I think, 4 years, 5 years. Every time the mass airflow sensor would go, probably like 4 or 5 times, I would just go down and get one at the junkyard. And I watched a YouTube video and it showed me how to replace it myself, which was super easy. And there you go. I never had to pay for it. Even buying multiple ones of them still cost me less than a brand new one would have. And it was a 2-minute fix. And at first, you had to go to the junkyard and take it out yourself. And, you know, so that added a little extra time. You got to walk around. I used to go to Robertson's in Wareham, got to walk around, find the car, and then take it out yourself. And, you know, then come back and pay for it and all that. But eventually, they stopped doing that and you just showed up and they pulled the part for you. So you just call ahead and say, I'm coming to get a mass airflow sensor. We got it ready for you. But that's thanks to YouTube. Otherwise, I would have probably gone and paid a mechanic to fix it and it would have cost me $500 or $600 for a car that I only paid $600 for. So, you know, there's certainly a lot more to vehicles today, so you can't do it as easily as you used to be able to. Everything's computerized. A lot of things are dealer specific. Like, for example, I lost my extra key to my car. I can't find it anywhere. I know the minute I go get a replacement key, I'm going to find it, but I can't find it anywhere. And so I went to go buy a replacement key and they're like, well, it's $90 for the key. And then it's however much for us to program it. So basically it's going to cost me like $150 to get a replacement key. And I was like, what? Well, because you have, you know, the anti-theft system on it. Yeah, but I don't have an alarm or anything, but it doesn't matter. If somebody puts the wrong key into the car and it doesn't have the chip in the key, it disables the vehicle so somebody can't drive. I'm like, well, then I'll just disable that. Well, to disable that, you have to bring it to the dealership because there's all kinds of things and codes and you got to program this and program that. I'm like, well, and that's going to cost me too. And oh, by the way, if you do that, there's no guarantee that it's 100% effective and you might end up getting locked out of your car at some point, locked out of your ignition at some point. Okay, well, then I'll just go get a brand new security system. If I'm going to pay $150, I'm just going to go get an alarm with an auto start and all that kind of stuff so that I have that since I don't have it already, and I'll just upgrade it because I might as well. Okay, but you still got to go to the dealer because they still got to take out the old system. And oh, man. So now I just hope I don't lock my keys in my car. If you want to call in and share our Fun Friday question, what was the make, model, and year of your first car? You can also share it on our WBSM Facebook page or on our Instagram account. We put it up on there too. I put it up as a graphic and we'll probably have a video at some point. It's all about whatever way I can get people to react. Whatever makes it easiest for you to be part of the discussion. So again, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. If you want to call in and chime in, you can do so. If you want to send an app chat message or an open line voicemail on the WBSM app, you can do that. We'll be back in a few moments.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Today's Fun Friday question, what was the make, model, and year of your first car? Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. This is a great question this morning. I started driving in 77, and in 79, I bought a 1972 Volkswagen Bug, like, which was rotted. The floors were rotted, of course. Also had to pay for it myself. Also had to pay for my own insurance because my parents didn't buy me cars.
Yeah, I don't know how.
So I was like you. I had to work.
I don't know how that happens, especially today with the price of cars. We had trouble being a two-car family when my son was little, let alone adding a third one into the mix.
Exactly. I agreed totally. But anyway, it was fun. And mostly when I went to high school, which was in the late 70s, if somebody had a cool car, it was because it was somebody who bought like a car that they hopped up.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody, all the guys worked on their cars. And now it's a different story, of course, because you can't.
Unless
you buy an older car.
Some kids were smart about it. I mean, my cousin, he saved every dollar everybody ever gave him as a kid. He didn't go out and buy toys with it. He didn't go out and buy candy. He saved all the money. He had a big, like one of those, the big water jugs, like a Belmont Springs jug in his room. And he put all of his money in there. And when he, when he turned 16, he went out and bought a 1969 Barracuda, I believe. That was in great shape. And then it was between that and a 1967 Barracuda. And or maybe somebody offered him that one later and said, I wish I had known you were looking for one. I would have sold you this one. And then he went back and bought that one. So as a 16-year-old kid, he had two Barracudas.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He would have been very cool at my high school.
He was very cool at his high school, too, I'm sure. But so it was funny because he would go and drive them in, like, parades or take them to car shows. And he'd call me and be like, hey, do you want to drive the other one? Because I can only drive one myself. So it was pretty cool.
Ooh, nice. Well, have a great day.
You as well. Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye. And
let's take another call here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Chip.
How you doing?
62, Austin Haley, Bug-Eyed Sprite.
Wow.
And you drove that car, you felt like you were James Bond.
I can imagine, yeah. So it was a 62. Yeah. What year did you get it?
I got it in 70.
Oh, you were cutting out a little bit on us there. I think we lost you. Yep, we did. We lost you. Sorry. You can try to call back in, though, when you're in a little bit of better area. I mean, I could imagine feeling like James Bond. I felt like a badass when I was in my Trans Am. I was pretending I was Michael Knight from Knight Rider. And believe me, this was not Kit in any sense of the imagination. But yeah, I do know kids that did save up money and got themselves a significant, you know, first car, but they bought that themselves, you know. Or what a lot of kids did was when they were like 14, they bought a junky car and started working on it, like the caller said, to fix it all up. So that they spent, you know, all of their free time and had a couple of years to kind of get to know the car before they were actually out driving it every day. So they knew everything about it by the time they drove it. And I'm sure that made it easier to take care of. I think, too, you know, that caller mentioned having a Volkswagen Bug. A lot of people want to get kind of the car that they've always wanted first. And I would recommend waiting on that. Wait on that until you're a little bit of a better driver. Get something you don't mind getting beat up when you first start driving. I mean, maybe it's different now. Cars are different. Cars have backup cameras and proximity sensors and all that kind of stuff. I didn't have any of that. You know what my proximity sensor was? When I hit something. Well, I guess I was too close. But our cars were also metal. And I kept a dent puller in the trunk, which was nothing more than a big suction cup. But I kept one of those in the trunk so that if I did bang it up, I just pop out there and pull it out. But she mentioned having a Volkswagen Bug. I only had one Volkswagen in my 20 vehicles that I've owned. And it was one you've probably never heard of. It was a Volkswagen Fox. And And I got it because my friend worked with me at the diner. He was a dishwasher while I was a cook. And we had the Bonanza Bus parking lot. We sold Bonanza Bus tickets, so the side lot was all for Bonanza Bus drivers. And there was a woman who had this silver Volkswagen Fox. And for whatever reason, he loved this car. It's just, it's a Volkswagen, but it kind of looked like one of those late 80s Mercedes Benzes. And so he loved this car. He was obsessed with this car. And she put a for sale sign in the window one day. And he was like, well, I'm going to go buy her a car. He was, you know, he just drove his mom's car. They shared a car because there was just the two of them. So he was like, I'm going to get my own car. I've got the money. I'm going to buy this car. And I think he paid like $4,500 for it, which was a lot of money in the early mid 90s for a car. And then he went to Germany for a summer. And he said, I'm going to be in Germany. I don't need a car. You need a car. I'm going to sell you my car. And I was like, well, I don't really have any money. I was like, I can give you $500 for it. And he goes, sold. So I sold him. So I bought the car from him for $500. And then he came back from Germany and wanted the car back. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah. I was like, no, you sold it to me. We transferred the title and it's registered in my name. And I decided I wanted it back. No, it doesn't work that way. So, yeah, our friendship was never the same, but and the Volkswagen Fox was a weird car because, you know, my dad got into drive it one day and he goes, I don't know how to back this thing up. It was a stick, but instead of being like sixth gear for reverse, you had to like push, you had to go into first gear and pop the stick down and then it went into reverse. So it was very, very different. Anyway, 508-996-0500. What was your first car, the make, model, and year of your first car? That's today's Fun Friday question that Dave suggested. And Dave said, well, you know what? I'll take a break and then I'll read Dave's answer when we come back. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. See, it's the cars with drive. Get it? See, it fits doubly. So Dave, who suggested this question, says, I started working part-time when I was 13. My parents made me save 50% of the small amount of money I made to have enough to buy a car when I got my license at age 16. I like that plan. I like the idea of, you know, we'll match whatever you save if you have the means to do that, because the kid can get a better car that way, but at least they have some ownership in it and some responsibility. He said, my first car was a 1971 Ford Torino with the 302 engine that I bought in 1976. That's pretty awesome. And the best part of the car was the kick-ass Pioneer Super Tuner stereo with Jensen speakers that I eventually installed. I had a Pioneer cassette deck that I took from car to car. Like, I loved that stereo. And I bought it from a coworker when he upgraded his stereo. It had the detachable face and all that. And every car that I had, I just made sure that I put that in until I had it in a car where that Volkswagen Fox, where a friend of mine said, this isn't wired correctly. I can wire it better, and then rewired it. And then later on that night, I was out on a date with my girlfriend. We're parked in a parking lot just eating some food and talking. And she's like, do you smell smoke? And I was like, yeah, it's coming from the dashboard. And then he had basically set my car on fire. All the wires inside the dashboard melted. And that was the end of the Volkswagen Fox, because wasn't paying to have that.